Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the AfridaLove.com show where Jesus shines with love. I am your host tonight, Dr. Afrida Love, and this is today, the night that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and delighted that each and every one of you decided to listen to the AfridaLove.com show. I have a very special show or ministry planned for you on tonight. We're going to continue to speak about the harvest, and when we speak about the harvest, we're speaking about the harvest for God, not the world. Amen. And so when we're speaking about the harvest, we're talking about what are we doing to edify and magnify who God is. What are we doing to glorify who God is? Because God says that when we are on his team, when we are working for God, he provides the abundance. He opens the doors. He pours out the blessings where we won't have enough room to receive, and he continues to give us strength and courage where we'll run and not grow weary, and we'll walk and not faint. So I just want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. It reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. And we ask that you continue to bless us to be beacons unto this world, and would you continue to bless the ministry to go forward in Jesus' name. We ask that you bless those who are in the hospitals, those who are coming out, and those who are thinking about going in. We thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for allowing us to work in your harvest. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us to walk with you these many years. We ask that you continue to protect us and keep us, Heavenly Father, is our prayer. We ask that you bless each person who is on this line. Not only bless them, but bless their families and bless their harvest and their crops that they will be tending to. We ask in the name of Jesus, would this particular ministry be something that is acceptable and pleasing in your sight? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And we're going to continue with our theme of harvest, and then we're going to have an educational discussion. I'm going to incorporate that. This is Black History Month, but we're going to have some educational components about different forms of education. But the education concept that we're going to look at on today deals with multiculturalism in the educational system. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this particular excerpt from a particular media outlet, and I'm going to kind of expound on that particular area, and then I want you to chime in as well, whether it's inbox, whether it's text, whatever it is, because we want to make education better. And that's why I'm on the radio. It's to give the word of God and to increase the awareness of education and how we as individuals and educators can make the educational system greater. Amen? greater is He that is in the greater is He. In other words, we need to be within the boundaries of God. Amen. Within the boundaries of God. All right. So we're going to, the Lord is speaking, so I'm listening, I'm getting quiet here. We're going to go ahead and read Galatians 6 and 9, and God's going to give us a word. Now remember on yesterday, I spoke about the harvest, and I asked you to put your name beside the harvest on yesterday, for those of you who are just joining, because we have a lot of new joiners, and then we have many of you who were here yesterday. Yesterday I had you to put the word harvest, and I asked you to put your name beside the harvest, and I said you are responsible for your harvest. Then after that, there was a word entitled labor, and we're not talking about when a woman goes into labor. We're speaking about working for God. Then we spoke about the abundance. God says there's no price tag on the abundance because God gives the abundance. He says, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. I am Emmanuel. And so God says He's always with us. And God gave the parable about the 99 sheep, and when one went astray, Jesus went out to find the one sheep. He says, because everybody matters. And He says, your anointing and your gift that God has given unto you would not leave you no matter what your circumstance is. So don't let the devil steal or try to take you away. The devil tries to separate, when God talks about devour, he tries to separate your anointing or your gift from you because of your circumstance or situation. But God says that God gives more unto you. He says that's why He talks about strength. God gives you strength. God gives you the power. He says your anointing is even stronger now. And so, you know, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not going to, whatever your gift is, I'm not going to do that anymore, because you're working for God. And see, we have to please God. That's who we have to please at the end of the day. We have to please God. And if God has anointed you to do something, if He's given you a purpose on this earth, then you have to use your purpose. You have to function in your purpose. And when God gets ready to relinquish your gift, God will do that, not man. Nobody on this earth can take away your gift. Nobody on this earth can take away your anointing. There is nothing on this earth that can take away your anointing. Okay? So remember that and continue to work in the harvest. We're going to talk about keep working in the harvest. Galatians 6 and 9, it says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I want you to write down Galatians 6 and 9 because I want you to remember this. And as you go about your day, your week, I want you to remember what we discussed or even play this back over again. The word says, let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart in doing well. Let us not lose heart in working for God. Let us not lose heart in harvesting our harvest. Amen. So let us not lose heart in doing good. On number one, I want you to put harvest first. Harvest. And I want you to put your name again beside harvest. And I want you to put a heart. Just draw a heart. Everybody knows how to draw a heart. Draw a heart. Okay? Within that heart, I want you to put what your harvest is. Whatever it is, and we're not, once again, we're differentiating. What do you do for God genuinely, not for show? This is between you and God. This is between me and God, not for show, not so people can pat you on the back, not so that you can get a write-off of tax. Seriously, what do you do genuinely for God that you're only expecting something from God and not people? What is it that you do? And so I need you to write it down. In that heart. Okay? Whatever it is. Some of you have multiple things. But what is it that you do for God? All right. Within that heart, and yes, it's getting close to Valentine's Day, but we're talking about the heart of God. Okay? I'm going to show you how God works. Okay? Do you see this heart that you just drew? And it doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is. God said all those things that we do, that we say we're harvesting for God, God looks on the inside. Where you put all of those things, he doesn't look on the outside. So it really doesn't matter how big your heart is. It doesn't matter if your heart's crooked, if it's straight. It doesn't matter. God says, I'm looking at your heart. And God says, with this, when we're really doing it for God, I want you to put the word faithful. Put the word faithful. Whenever you're working your harvest and you're doing it for God, God is looking on the inside. On the outside, your faithfulness is shown because you show up every day or you're faithful to your calling, to your harvest. This is your harvest. This is my harvest. I put my name by the harvest. Okay? God says, here's the heart. God's not concerned about what's on the outside because we can dress that heart up. You can put stars by the heart. You can color it red, whatever you want to do. But God says at the end of the day, he's looking on the inside. What is your motive? Why are you doing this? Are you doing this because you want people to pat you on the back, or are you doing this because you're doing it for God and you know that God is going to give you the increase, God is going to bless you, he's going to take care of you. You know that this is part of your anointing, this is part of your calling. Then God says you show up every day. He says, well, that's what's evident to everyone, that you're faithful. He says you didn't lose heart. Because, see, sometimes when put an ear beside faithful, just draw an ear. And how you draw an ear, let me tell you how you draw it. You draw a C and an at sign, okay? God says, now look at that picture. You draw a C and an at sign inside the C, okay? Now, God says, this is your harvest, right? Frida, Imania, love. This is your harvest. God says, within this harvest, you have selected some things that you do for God, solely for God, not for the world. And when we say solely for God, you're actually working for God to build a kingdom. These are the things that we do, okay, inside that heart. God says you can dress this heart up. You can do whatever you want to with this heart. But God is looking on the inside. He's looking at why you're doing this. Who are you pleasing? Who are you trying to please? Then God says what's evident on the outside is faithfulness because you show up to your harvest. Right? And because you pray over your harvest. And because what's on the inside is going to come out, your faithfulness. And God says, right by this faithfulness, he says, is an ear. This faithfulness, he says, you have two options. You can either listen to God or you listen to people. And notice that people's at the bottom. Okay? And when I say listen to people, we're talking about negativity. And I want you to put positive people by God. Okay? You can put a plus sign and you can put a minus sign, okay? It's up to you. Look at this picture and look at it closely. You have a choice who you're going to listen to as you work your harvest, right? You're going to listen to God and positive people, or you're going to listen to Satan and negative people? Satan's not even on number two because Satan's invisible to God's people because Satan has no authority over the anointing that God has given. See, but when you start listening to negativity, or if you do decide to listen to negativity or people who do not have your best interest in mind, then your harvest will begin to die. And then God says you will lose heart in doing good. Do you see how this works? We're on Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. The only way you're going to lose heart in doing good is if you listen to Satan and negative people. But God says in Galatians 6:9, he says, this is your harvest. He says, and I'm looking at the inside of your heart. I see everything that you do. And as long as you're doing it to please me, God, he says, then all of that counts. He says, and what's evident, what everybody sees is on the outside is your faithfulness because you continue to show up in spite of, right? Because you're being faithful to God. Right? You're listening to God. There is the ear. You're listening to God. You're listening to positive people. You have that discernment. But at the bottom, number two is negative people. Right? People also have a choice to listen to negative people. And if you listen to negative people, then you will become negative too. And then your harvest will become negative. And you will receive negative abundance. That's what God is saying. And you will lose heart and you will eventually quit. And there goes your dreams and everything else. So you have to keep moving. Let's go to the second one. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now, For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I want you to put a clock, put the numbers within the clock. And I want you to also draw. When we talk about reaping, just draw a circle. Don't put anything in the circle. Just draw a circle. Okay. And then weary, I want you to just draw an eyebrow. Eye. It doesn't matter how you draw the eye. And when I say draw eyes, I'm talking about the eyes that you see with. And everybody should know how to draw eyes, because I know when you were younger, you had to draw stick people, and the greatest thing we could draw was the eyes, okay? All right, so let me tell you how it goes. God says, this is your harvest, Galatians 6 and 9. This is your harvest. It has your name on it. God has a purpose for your life. He has a gift. He has abundance for your life. God says that here is the heart, right? God says, I'm not looking on the outside. I don't care how beautiful it is. He says, I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking at why you're doing these things. Are you doing this to glorify me or the people? Are you doing this to get a pat on the back? Or are you doing it genuinely doing it? Are you doing this to make a name for yourself? What are you doing this for? Are you doing this to glorify people, to bring people together? What are you doing this for? And God says, what should be on the outside dressed up is your faithfulness. Because you show up every day to your harvest, whether you're praying for your harvest, whether you show up and if you're supposed to be a radio host, you're on air, whether you're serving the youth, whether you're volunteering, whatever you're doing for God, street ministry, whatever you're doing, you show up, you're faithful. If you're not there, you're praying, right? You're faithful to the calling. But God says, here it is. When we talk about two roads diverged, right? These two roads, you have a choice. You can either continue to listen to God and be around positive people, or you can listen to Satan and be around negative people. And you notice that Satan, we didn't even put Satan's name, because that's how Satan is. He throws a rock and hides his head, right? So the negative people are working for Satan. And then when it's time for the increase in abundance, it equals zero. Because nothing Satan does is prosperous. Satan doesn't work at the harvest. Only God does. God looks to add things and to grow things. Satan looks to destroy, right? And so you have to be able to discern. You have to monitor what your ears hear, right? And you have to make sure that also is the voice of God, okay? Then here's a clock. God says every day. He says the clock is ticking every single day. Every second should be purposeful. When you look at your day, and I want you to be honest with yourself, it's nobody's business but yours. When you look at your day, how many times, how many minutes, how many hours do you spend gossiping? And this is for everybody. It's me too. Gossiping. Being in somebody else's business, this is real deal, y'all. This is God is speaking. Being in somebody else's business, tending to somebody else's business, worried about somebody. You see where this is going? Worried about somebody else's business and not worried about your own. Where, when we look at this clock, how many seconds, minutes, hours do you spend worried about somebody else? Because that could be seconds, minutes, hours that we spend praying to God for these situations. So God says during this clock time, this time that we have idle, this time, this extra time that we have to talk about people, to worry about other people's business, to be in other people's business, all of those things, you're missing out on prayer time for your harvest. God says you're missing some of his abundance because we're too busy worried about everybody else, and we're not even praying to God. Our harvest is suffering, right? And so now when we look at what's in our hearts, it's just sitting there, idle. We're not being faithful to it because we're on the clock, worried about everybody else, the Joneses and Smiths. And the Joneses and Smiths are going to be okay. But our harvest over here is dying. Because we're not tending to it. We're too busy worried about somebody else's harvest, and our harvest need to be tended to. You understand? Then we're over here at the circle. Okay? God talks about the abundance. He talks about the circle. When I was younger, grandparents used to take us on the farm. We used to tend to the horses and the pigs and the cows, and there was a huge barrel, and it was full of abundance of food for these particular animals. And so God says that with this barrel that we've just drawn, this circle, there is no identified abundance in here, because God's abundance cannot be measured. Did you hear what I said? There's no identified abundance within this circle, because God's abundance cannot be measured. There's no identified abundance in the circle, because God's abundance cannot be measured. Okay? And so when we talk about these particular things, about the abundance and the measurement of the abundance, what we find is that God says, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. I am Emmanuel. God says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches in glory. And so God says, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that you want, if it's in the will of God, you're going to have it. God is going to take care of you, because God is in control of you. You are working for God, and God's going to make sure that you have an abundance. And he said the abundance is going to spill over into your gift. You know how you work also for, you work in the world, but this is your job spiritually. And God says all of these things, when he talks about abundance, when he talks about opening up the windows of heaven and pouring you out a blessing where you won't have enough room to receive, all of those things come from the spiritual gift, the spiritual abundance, right? And it spills over. And so God says you begin to experience double portions. But we're going to talk about gifts for the world that God created a little bit later. Not today, though. Then we have the eyes, right? Yeah, we have the eyes. It says, for in due time, we drew the time. And remember, we said with this time, instead of spending time gossiping, worried about everybody else except yourself and your harvest is messed up, start praying. That extra time that you had, that idle time that you have. It says, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. We have this barrel here. God says abundance is not measured in a barrel. Abundance cannot be measured on earth, right? It says, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Now, you see a picture of some eyes. God says, do not grow weary. Do not grow tired. God says, remain alert and awake. He says, work while it is day, because when night cometh, no one is able to work. And God says, every day you keep your focus. The eyes represent focusing on God. You notice that I didn't draw any ears, because the ears is up here while you're at your harvest. But God says that sometimes you have that time to yourself. You have extra time. In other words, you're so productive that you have extra time. And God says with this extra time, he wants us to be praying unto him and focusing on him. Do you hear what I'm saying? God says, when you have extra time, spend that extra time with God. My whole schedule has changed. My schedule has changed because I'm spending more time with God. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been walking with God ever since I was about 5 or 6 years old. I used to go to Bible study and everything. I was walking with God ever since I was about 5 or 6 years old. This is not something that just happened, okay? But my time now has increased with God because I'm studying the word of God and I'm praying unto God and I'm trusting and I'm believing in God. And so God says that when you look at the clock and you have that time, instead of being in somebody else's business, worried about somebody else, gossiping, being nosy, he says pray. God is talking to all of us. He says pray. He says and focus on him. Once again, you notice I didn't draw any ears down here when I was saying focus on God, because God says that you have to listen to him only. And when you're focusing on God, you're not listening to the world at all. And what I mean by that, I don't mean going contrary to the world and you have people who are actually looking out for your best interest, is telling you things and you're like, oh, I'm not listening to the world. No, that's good sound doctrine. But when you have negative naysayers, people who are just nosy, people, and when I say nosy, I'm not talking about concerned people. I'm talking about people who want to see you fail, and they just nosy. They just in your circumstance. They just in your stuff, in your business, right? Those people, negativity. You have to learn how to tune your ears to positive people. I'm not a pretentious person. I'm a very real person. I don't know how to fake. I don't know how to be in other people's business. I told y'all the story when I was little, right? I learned my lesson about being nosy. I was looking at a bag, a paper sack, and I fell in the paper sack. I stopped being nosy after that. So I don't have time to be in other people's business. I'm trying to keep up with myself, right? But when we talk about the spirituality of God, God says, this is your harvest. I'm looking at your heart. What people should see is your faithfulness. You shouldn't be doing things so people can say, oh, look at what you're doing. Look at, I mean, it's all good when people are in admiration. That's fine. But in your heart, you should be doing this for God. Then be careful who you listen to. And we're not talking about shunning people and not listening to anyone, because there are some people who actually want to see you do well, and you have to know who those people are. Once again, I'm going to tell you, I'm a very genuine person. There is nothing, seriously, there is no part of my personality that's fake. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to talk behind your back and then smile in your face. Hey, no. If you're going through a circumstance, my business is to pray, right? That's my business. I'm not going to wish you bad luck and all that. I'm not going to do that, because that's not the type of camp that I come from. I don't have to do that, because God always blesses. So when we talk about that, you have to be very careful, right, who you listen to. You listen to God and you listen to positive people, people who want to see you be successful. The negativity has to go. People who are negative, people who think negative, people who want to see you fall, people who have nothing better to do than to sit on the clock of life and worry about your business and their business is lacking or something is going on that they should be trying to fix in their lives. And so if they're on the clock here worried about the Joneses and the Smiths instead of worrying about their own camp, we need to be praying. When we have that spare time, we need to be praying and minding our own business, amen? And it doesn't mean that you're not concerned, right, about anyone else, but it means that you're praying. There's a difference between being nosy and being concerned. Being concerned is, I'm going to pray for you. Being nosy is you want to know everything, and then you want to have something to talk about. I'm just being real. And your camp is messed up as well. There are some things that you could correct in your camp. Okay? Then let's move on. Then we talk about the barrel. God says abundance, there is no measure of abundance, period. There's no measure on earth. We drew this as a visual so that you could see it, right? So there is no measure of abundance. God says that whatever you need, God says he has it. That's what this represents. Whatever you need, he has it. And continue to work for God. Don't put down your preaching towel. Don't throw in anything. God says continue to work for God. Then God leaves us with this. He says work while it's day. He says, and continue to focus on him when you had that extra time, and that includes me. Like I said, my whole schedule has changed. My whole perspective has changed. God has did a transformation on my thinking, a transformation on my faith, a transformation on my service, a transformation on everything. God has, he's still working on that in a positive manner. And God says, let us not lose heart in doing good and doing well, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Continue to work for God. Do not let anyone tell you that your anointing is not needed. Do not let anyone tell you that this is the end all be all, because God says there's more than one door to your destiny. You understand? And so, there's a difference between having faith and a difference between not having faith. In this world, what I've discovered is everyone is trying to make heaven their home. In this world, what I've discovered is that God is going to do what God wants to do regardless. And so continue to work is my message unto everyone, continue to work. Continue to trust in God with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all thy ways, and he shall lead and direct thy path. Continue to do that. Don't let anybody deter you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Continue to do that. We look at this harvest. That's your harvest. I'm going to say this one more time before we go to our second part of education. That is your harvest. This is my harvest. I have placed, strategically placed some things within this heart because I'm doing it for God. I'm not doing it for a show. I'm not doing it for a write-off. I'm not doing it for any type of recognition. I just want God to recognize me. That's it. Look closely. We have to stop pretending. I told you, I don't know how to pretend. I'm not going to talk behind your back and be grinning in your face. No. Because that's not being real. That's being fake, phony. You have to, it's time to get serious about what we're doing for God. If any of this that's in your heart that you placed here, and you know it, that's between you and God. And God knows it too. If any of this is for show, to increase your name instead of God's, to make you look good, to pat you on the back, to uplift and praise you, then it's not real. You're doing this for self-glory instead of God's glory, and the harvest is not productive. It's time for us to stop faking and pretending. That's what God is saying. When we look at this heart that we have strategically placed our different callings that we're doing for God, it's the same thing with people, and we're going to do an activity later on with people. There is no need in pretending like we love people. We want to see them do so well. And really on the inside, we want to see them fail. We cannot fool God, and we cannot be prosperous living that type of life, a pretentious, fake, phony life. God would rather for us to be real so that he can begin to work on our hearts than to be pretentious and pretend like we're fooling God, because we're not. So whatever is in the heart must be genuine, but we're talking about the harvest. And God is talking about his people. He says, you know, whatever you have placed in here and said that you're serving people, is it really genuine? How is it possible that we can pretend like we're working for God and we want to be ourselves glorified? God says nothing comes to pass as far as abundance, because we're glorifying ourselves and not God. God says that we're far from him. Our hearts are far from him. But we're doing his work. And so we have to be in line with God in order to be in the will of God. So God says we have to be real. And that's why I said I've never been able to pretend. Never. And for the most part, I mind my own business. Okay, so there's the heart. Inside, those particular things must be genuine. Now, on the outside, this is what people should see, your faithfulness. Here's the ear. We listen to God, positive people, or you can listen to Satan, negative people. Here's a clock. That idle time, what do you do with it? You worry about everybody else, but there are some things, right, in our lives that we need to straighten up to, right? And so all this extra free time that you have, that we have, and we're worrying about other people and being in other people's business and all that, this is time that we can be praying and worried about our own harvest at this time. That way, when we get our harvest settled, we can go out. God says charity starts at home and then spreads abroad. So we need to clean up our harvest first. That goes from us all the way up to family. Clean up our harvest first. And after we clean up our harvest, then we can go out and help serve others. And then we talked about the abundance. We've said this several times tonight. God says that there is no amount. God says, whatever you need, I shall supply it. Because you're working for me, God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to give you my riches and glory. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing where you will not have room enough to receive. Then God says, but you got to focus on me. And we don't have any ears on this last picture. We just have eyes because we're focused on God. And once we're in the will of God, and once we paint this picture and it's genuine, it's genuine, then we're able to focus on God. We don't need any visuals of ears because our ears are listening to the revelation of God. So that's Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Amen. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel because God is able. Amen. Amen. All right. I have added a section because I have been involved in some studies with different universities, Yale, Harvard, some different universities. And this is Black History Month. And we're going to look at and listen to this particular excerpt entitled Missing Black Teachers. And this is from a media outlet, Your Black World. So y'all be sure to check out Your Black World. And it's entitled Missing Black Teachers. It's 2:15. And then I'm going to give a brief synopsis. And I'm going to pose a question to you, and I want you to inbox me or email me or connect with me, because I want to write a book on culturally responsive teachers. I've been working on this project for at least a year now, and so I'm looking for other researchers and individuals who are interested in understanding about culturally responsiveness. And culturally responsiveness is not just a race. It is a method that individuals go by when teaching different structures for students. And so when I really was first introduced to culturally responsive teaching, it was at Texas A&M with Dr. Webb. And with this particular excerpt, it's very important that we not only focus on just, this says missing black teachers, but we focus on culturally responsive teachers as well. And so my question is going to be culturally responsiveness. But I want you to hear this video because we are celebrating Black History Month, and I will have different things, poems and books and people and all that good stuff. I'll even read a book on here. But I want you to listen to this particular excerpt. It's entitled Missing Black Teachers. It's from Your Black World. And basically, according to recent reports, the number of black teachers in several major cities are declining. And so research says that this could have a negative impact on students. And there has been research out that says that when students are exposed to or have diverse teachers, they're less likely to drop out of school because at least one of those teachers understand their circumstances and situations. Now, we're going to look at that as well. I've had some great teachers of all different backgrounds, and so I believe that the school structures should mirror different backgrounds of teachers because, I mean, we need all varieties. We need a salad method. We need varieties of teachers. But in these particular situations with black teachers, there's a shortage in particular cities, and so they're going to name the cities as well. But we're going to talk about it a little bit. I'm going to talk about it a little bit. And then I want you to send me inbox or emails like you've been doing, and we'll talk about it, okay? But this is coming from Your Black World. It's entitled Missing Black Teachers.
Hi, everyone. This is Johari Shuck, and welcome to this episode of Your Black World News. A recently released report about diversity among teachers shows that even though nationally there has been some progress in creating a more diverse teaching force, there are several cities in the country that are experiencing severe declines in the numbers of black teachers. Those cities include Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, Cleveland, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The representation gap is even more visible in charter schools than in public schools. Nationally, the research shows that one of the biggest obstacles to more teacher diversity is turnover. Minority teachers are leaving, according to some reports, because there's a lack of their voice in decision-making in the schools and also a lack of professional autonomy. Even though all students benefit from having black teachers, the benefits for black students are even more important. Research has shown that years after having even one black teacher in elementary school, black students experience major benefits from being less likely to drop out of high school to being more likely to aspire to college and take college entrance exams. With all this information about the importance of black teachers, why do you think that it is that this is such a problem? Is it because teachers aren't given respect and so our children don't want to aspire to those careers? Or is there some other problem that you think that is leading to this problem of a lack of black teachers? Do you think that there's something that should be done about it, or should we just take our kids and try to homeschool them? Please comment on the story and let us know what you think about the shortage of black teachers.
All right. So that was entitled Missing Black Teachers, and that was from Your Black World. And as the excerpt suggested, according to many reports, there are black teachers who are missing in major cities. And when we talk about this, we're talking about the educational structure within major cities who have a vast number of minority students. One of the things that I have engaged in is basically researching and speaking to different individuals who aspire to be teachers and different individuals who are teachers. And this has been a study that I've been conducting for at least a good 2 years. And one of the main themes that I hear within the culture, first of all, that individuals are speaking about is they talk about pay. They talk about education. When they speak about the pay in education, and they correlate, listen, teachers correlate, some teachers, some beginning teachers, and some teachers who are already in the field. And we're not just talking about minority teachers. We're talking about teachers in general. They correlate pay with discipline. Isn't that interesting? When we speak about pay and discipline, they say what I get is at particular areas in the United States, they're not paying me enough to deal with the discipline issues that go on in the school, okay? That's what I'm hearing. That right there is why so far that America is experiencing teacher shortages, because teachers feel like they're not being paid enough to deal with some of the discipline issues. So what is the solution? Well, one thing that we're focusing on as far as the curriculum for colleges and the curriculum for public schools is a more culturally responsive way of learning for students. What we find is engagement causes students to pay attention. That seems very common sense-like, but just think about this. For instance, parents, when you're at home and you have a child who really likes to play video games, when they're playing that video game, they're engaged in the video game and they're doing their best to win. Well, the same concept in the classroom. But we're not playing video games in the classroom because the classroom is a learning environment, all right? And so we have to structure, and we've been speaking about this, we have to structure the curriculum in a way that responds to our youth of today. Because I really believe that in each classroom we have phenomenal teachers all over the United States. I do. And when we look at and analyze the curriculum and textbooks, and we've been talking about this as well, there's not enough diversity or culturally responsiveness in the textbooks as well. And so the life experiences that are being faced on a daily basis with our youth are not measuring up to the experiences that are in the books or the experiences that are on the computer screen. And so we have to make curriculum more conducive to the environment. That's saying I have to meet these youth where they are is very important, meeting them where they are. And so when we talk about, let's go back to the excerpt, when we talk about the lack of minority teachers, matter of fact, it's a lack of teachers, period, they always correlate pay with discipline, right? And we just said that pay with discipline. And so the discipline will be brought down once we become a culturally responsive unit. And so one of the things that I want to get out, and the reason why I have this on the radio for individuals to listen, is because when we're selecting different curriculum aspects and we're looking at the TEKS and we're analyzing and trying to figure out what students need to know for these tests and things of that nature, it's very important that the curriculum structure matches the testing structure. With that, we need to go into a multicultural aspect as far as how students learn. We know that students learn with music, okay? We know that students learn with real-life experiences, kinesthetic, hands-on. You know, some students are visual. You know, when we talk about neighborhood schools, you know, going out, starting a garden in the neighborhood, letting students hypothesize what that is, what it looks like. Having certain businesses, you know, students love things about business. And a lot of people speak about time. They say, well, time is a constraint. Yes, it is. But isn't it also taking away instructional time? We have to deal with discipline, right? And so multicultural education is more of an experimental aspect in which we incorporate all the cultures into a salad bowl, and we meet the students exactly where they are. We have to, there should be a rubric, and I'm working on a curriculum book right now. There should be a rubric that's multiculturally responsive that should be checked off every time books are created, every time or before books are sent to schools. These particular things need to be in the book at least once in order for that book to pass through. Because what's happening is that we have some great books that are written, or we have some great curriculum that's made or created or supplemental or whatever it is, and it does not correspond to the experiences. And so what do we get? We get an achievement gap. What do we get? We get students who are unable to pass the test. What do we get? We have teachers who have to teach to the test, and so the creativity and the thinking out the box is gone out the window, you know. And so I believe that multicultural responsiveness is very important, right? And it's not just, you know, for African-Americans, it's for everybody because we have different types of learners. That's why it's called being culturally responsive. We have different types of learners. And so if we want to continue to see an increase in student scores as far as literacy is concerned, as far as, you know, looking at the structure and things of that nature, then we have to change up some things. And curriculum is one. It has to be more culturally responsive. And it has to match the structure of the TEKS and all those good things, you know. And so, you know, culturally responsiveness, when we talk about the classrooms and when we talk about different cultures are missing within different areas, then we need to look at why. You know, why is it that some teachers in the United States feel like they're not being paid enough to deal with the discipline they have to put up with? Why are the students acting up in the classroom? And so, you know, it's easy to say, well, it may be because of their background or home training, but it also goes to engagement, the engagement piece. It's very important. It's very important. When I think about that video, my analysis of the video as far as, you know, the fact that we're missing black teachers, my analysis is that a lot of African-American teachers are probably going into business because the studies indicated that African-Americans feel like, some of them feel like they don't have any voice. And we talked about the structure of the voice. We need to start having trainings how to have a voice. You have a voice by being able to create a classroom where you can empower each student in your classroom in learning. Empower and engage each of your students in learning. When we talk about the voice, we talk about results. When you're able, and that goes for any culture, when you produce results, your voice is heard. When you begin to produce results. And so I don't want anyone to feel like, whether it's black teachers, whoever it is, that you don't have a voice, because you do. You serve. Wherever you serve, you have a voice. That's something that God is speaking. Wherever you serve, you have a voice. Your voice is never silenced. That's one myth that we have to get out of as far as teachers are concerned. It doesn't matter who it is, because I'm sure that black teachers aren't the only ones. Some of them, I don't have a voice. That's not true. You always have a voice wherever you invest in your time into. You have a voice. Now, when we look at the structure, as we said before, okay, it's very important to understand that it really doesn't matter who's in the driver's seat in the classroom. What matters is, are those individuals in the classroom able to relate to the students, engage the students, and empower the students, and keep the students motivated within the classroom? That's the question. And so we're going to be talking about that. And there is a study. But right now what we're finding out, the researchers are finding out, the teachers are saying, and this is from all cultures, the pay does not equal the discipline that I have to put up with. So that means that there has to be a paradigm shift, right, from the traditional to multicultural. And multicultural, as I said before, is not a color. It is a strategy, just like differentiation. People get differentiation in multicultural responsiveness. They try to put them together. That's not going to work. Differentiation is for, you know, you have to do certain things for different students in order for that student to be successful. When we talk about multicultural strategies, students learn in different ways, different experiences, and we need to bring culture into the classroom. When we talk about culture, we're not just talking about race. We're talking about how students learn. And so if we don't understand how students learn, then, of course, you won't be able to teach them. They won't be able to learn. That's right. So I want y'all to think about that video. Email me with your thoughts, and we're going to have other things dealing with education and other things like that we're going to have discussions. And so I want you guys to connect with me on LinkedIn, Afrita Love, or you can email me, EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. Or you can check out the website that's not up right now because we're working on technology. It's AfritaLove.com. But I want each and every one of you to connect with me, and let's have some discussions here. We have so many people on the line, and I am receiving a lot of inbox and emails, which is good. Okay, so continue to uplift your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, writers, actors, actress, anyone with a positive message, please, Facebook @FREDALOVE. At ALFREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. Be sure to do that. I would love to have you on the ministry. In addition to that, continue to pray for all of your family members. When you do, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself. Pray for those you know, those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. In addition to that, on your calendars, you know the Stellars are coming up. You know that we have a youth conference in Georgia that's coming up. We also have a conference in Waco that's coming up. Deals with self-esteem. And it also, we're going to talk about testing strategies. And you also know that God is just good. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. He's good and he's worthy to be praised. Continue to trust in God with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all our ways, and he shall lead and direct our path. Remember that the harvest is yours. Remember that God looks on the inside. He doesn't look on the outside. He knows what's on the outside. The only thing that people should see on the outside is your faithfulness. Remember to listen to God and positive people. Abstain from negative people and the devil. Turn away. Remember that the clock represents any type of idle time that you have. Begin to pray unto God and thank God and bless God. Remember that God says that he will open up a window and pour you out a blessing where you will not have enough room to receive. There is no measurement of God's abundance on this earth. Remember to keep your eyes focused on the Lord and continue to look towards the hills from which cometh all of your help, because all of your help cometh from the Lord. And remember that when you are focusing on God, when you're praying to God, you don't have time to be messy. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and 9. Amen. Galatians 6 and 9. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening. I want to bless each and every one of you. And I want you to remember to let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I have read to you Galatians 6 and 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love.